Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
The Bible Talks is a show that discusses deep theology in a simple way.
We help make the greatest truths of the Bible accessible to all seekers, students, and saints.
This show promises to be engaging, entertaining, and hopefully enlightening.
And if you're interested in theology, but you don't consider yourself a theologian, this is the show for you.
We are Josh and Heather Tice. We minister to and lead Southern Hills Baptist Church in Las Vegas.
And we love each other, love theology, and love to talk.
We're going to have three different types of episodes. First of all, theological discussions. Second, biblical fascinations. And third, personal applications. That one's my favorite.
You can find this and previous episodes on our iTunes podcast or on KVXL 101.1 Experience Liberty Radio. So, we always like to begin with a little bit of fun. Heather, let's get started.
All right. So this is episode number two. And for our fun question, just to kind of get us going here, get us started, Josh, this is one that my small group just used last week.
Hit me with it. I'm ready.
All right. So what
I'm
is...
Not, wait, let me stop and just say I'm not afraid.
Okay, good.
I'm not afraid.
You should
whatever
be.
You have to no, say. I'm no, kidding. I have nothing to fear.
Okay.
Tell me, what is it?
What is your favorite beauty tip?
Favorite beauty tip?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to share my favorite. I have one.
Okay.
You think you were going to trap me because I'm a man and I don't have beauty tips.
I know your routine.
Okay. Yeah, but our audience doesn't. Okay. So yes, I have beauty tips, clearly. If you've seen a photograph of me, I'm a beautiful man. Correct?
Correct.
Thank you. I wasn't sure what you would say. Okay, here's my beauty tip. Are you ready? Well, I don't know what you're going to say.
Well, we've been married for a while.
Well, we're married for a while, but sometimes maybe we just get tired of each other. Now, not of you. I thought you might have been me, but I'm glad to know that. Okay, I'm going to get on to it because I'm feeling this conversation is not going well. Beauty tip. I do have one. Okay. Beauty tip. Multiple products for the hair.
Multiple. Like, you mean all at once or like changing it up?
No, all at once. Okay, see, here's the thing. If you're going to comb your hair, you're going to do your hair well. If it's good. Now, look, any dude could have, you know, shave his head. A lot of guys do that. And that's cool. It looks good for some. Not everybody. But if you're going to have great hair like I do, this is what you got to do.
We should call that bald head the Elijah.
The Elijah. If you're going to have the Elijah. Wow.
No,
there's going to be a
share. That was a Bible talk.
There's going to be a she-bear come out of the corner of this radio station.
No, I was saying it complimentary. I wasn't mocking.
Oh, okay. I assumed you were mocking.
Go up, thou bald head. That's what, like, it was, take the platform, speak to us.
I feel like you're mocking Elijah, and I think a bear is going to come and eat you.
I'm a big fan of Elijah. All right, okay. So continue on with your multiple beauty products in your hair.
Okay. I'm not going to make fun of any Bible people like you just did, but I would say, multiple, if you have hair.
What about Samson?
And it's great hair.
He probably used lots of different products.
He had different products. Of course he did. He used a little honey.
Oh, that's so bad. That's John the Baptist, you know, and that was not on purpose.
No, but Samson
some little grasshopper legs and things in his hair.
Oh, you
and
do
that
not
was not intentional.
I am telling you, John the Baptist's hair would not be nice.
You just made fun of a
no,
Bible
I'm not.
Character. You went back on your
Look
word.
Look at him.
This
he wears
man
camel's
is a liar.
Hair. How nice could his hair be? Okay, so if you're going to use...
Maybe that was his one fetish. He had to take care of his hair.
Everything
else went to pot.
The one thing in his life... He wants to take care of his hair. So here's John the Baptist. He's in camel's hair. He eats locusts and wild honey. But his hair is a beautiful mane.
Yeah, like 100 strokes a day, you know, with this comb he made out in the wilderness of twigs.
That would make a great podcast episode.
Wait till we get to heaven and you meet him.
Where we talk
You'll
about
find out.
Where we talk about beauty tips from the Bible. All right. Okay. So do you want to hear my beauty tip or not?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry.
It's multiple products for your hair.
Multiple. Okay.
Multiple. products for your hair.
Okay.
Okay. So, look, for years, I just would comb my hair and then spray it with White Rain.
I remember those days.
Yeah. But that my hair was not as good. It wasn't as
it
full
wasn't.
And silky.
No. Not as
it
lustrous.
Is now. As lustrous. So now you got a shampoo. You got a conditioner.
Yeah.
Then you've got to do a fiber. And then...
Is the fiber the white stuff
yeah, the
that
white
looks
stuff.
Like a spider web?
Yeah, it's like a matted
crazy,
fiber,
y'all.
And then you do a little spray, and then you're good.
Okay.
That's minimum four products.
Minimum. What is like your fancy extra fifth product?
No, that's it. I don't want to talk about it. That's for a future episode.
Oh, saving the good stuff. Come back for more, folks.
So what is your beauty tip?
Mine comes from one of my favorite Bible teachers, Beth Moore.
Okay.
She tweeted it out. It's a mascara.
Mascara.
Because I don't have long lashes, and I really would get frustrated. It seemed like mascara did nothing. And ladies, it's just a simple product you can find anywhere. It's L'Oreal Double Extend Mascara. And it is in a red and white tube. The white side makes your lashes look longer. Now, it's not one of those grow ones that, by the way, those you have to use all the time, apparently. Some people want to hear this. Mine is actually very practical.
I was asleep
for a
minute. Okay,
mine
there.
Is practical. It adds these like fake tips to the end of your lashes, and then the black side, you just rub it on, and it's amazing. And
L'Oreal.
Yeah, from Beth Moore and Heather Tice. Here's our gift to you.
Heather
L'Oreal
and Beth.
L'Oreal Double Extend.
And
every time I use
Did
it,
she
I'm
tell
like,
you about that when you were
My
recently
friend Beth
together?
Told me about this.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
On Twitter. All right, so that was the fun.
Yeah.
We just had fun.
Yay. Yes.
All right, so today's episode, we wanted to do a biblical fascination.
Things that we are fascinated with.
Yeah, just from the scripture that you think about. And these are the conversations that hopefully you're having at home or with your friends or just even over the coffee.
We think it's important for people who are Christians who like the Bible to be able to talk about the Bible.
Yeah,
we don't talk enough about it.
I mean, we like to do this quite a bit in our home. So today, this is a fun one. This is a fascination. This is an easy one. So we're going to talk about our top five favorite Bible characters.
Top five favorite
Bible
characters.
And the rule is, so what? I hope you're thinking about yours. The rule is, it can't be Jesus.
No.
Because he's everyone's favorite.
Right. If your favorite is Jesus, okay, duh. Everybody likes Jesus.
And if your favorite's not Jesus,
you need to read the Bible.
Right. Because it's about him. So.
Right. So outside of Jesus, top five favorite Bible characters.
And why? You can't just throw a name out there.
Right. Okay. I'm ready. So we have not shared these with each other.
No, we have not. Are we starting with the number five?
I'm starting with number five and then moving up Dave Letterman style. Like the number one will be the
end. I do know my number five, my least of these, but I don't know my number four.
So who begins? Ladies go first. You want to go first?
No, I'm putting mine in order.
Okay.
You go first.
All right. So I'm going to begin. My top five favorite Bible characters, I'm going to begin with number five, Joshua.
Is that because it's your name?
No, it is my name. I take that offense at that. I feel like you're saying I'm egotistical and I would only pick that character because that's my name. Heather,
no.
Heather, which is not a biblical name at all. Heather, what
it's
is Heather
part of
from?
God's creation.
What is it?
It's a plant.
It's a
flower.
In the moors of England.
Yeah.
It's
God
a
made
pagan.
It.
It's a pagan name.
God made it. It reflects the beauty of his creation.
From pagan parents.
It's not a pagan name.
Yes. If your parents loved the Lord like mine did, they would have named you a biblical name. That's all I'm saying. Do you take offense to that?
No, I don't really care.
Okay. All right.
But go ahead.
Well, okay. So, Heather, my name is Joshua. Yes, my fifth favorite Bible character is Joshua.
Okay.
And the why. Okay, so I like Joshua. He was the apprentice to David. No. Oh, my goodness. Moses. I do know the Bible, I swear. I have degrees and everything. I'm a pastor. Okay. He is the apprentice to Moses. And he is the one who takes over for Moses and leads the children of Israel into the promised land. He's a great warrior, a great man, a great leader. But what I love about him is that he comes from Moses, another great leader. And so I kind of relate to him a little bit because, my dad is a pastor. He was a great leader, is a great leader. And so I kind of relate to being that second generation of leadership is the idea. So I really like Joshua.
I do like Joshua because I like the victory that you find in his life and in that book. And I think
that's kind of the theme,
as Christians,
right?
We should live in victory. And so every time I hear from Joshua, any stories in there, it just is so practical and applicable.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the book of Joshua. We did, in fact, our small group from last year, we were in a small group together and we actually were going verse by verse through the book of Joshua, didn't we? Yeah. And
I plotted that. Made that happen.
Yeah,
I tricked everybody. I'm like, let's vote. Yeah. And then I gave like two not as cool choices, and then everybody chose the one.
Yeah, you said, okay, we have a choice between three books of the Bible.
Hezekiah,
Leviticus.
Which is not a book.
Hezekiah. Or or Joshua. Who's going to pick Hezekiah? Nobody. It's not a book. Nobody wants to study Leviticus. And so everybody chose Joshua. Yeah. You tricked us.
It's all part of my plan.
Yeah. So I would say Joshua, number five. What's your number five?
Okay. I want to just put a disclaimer out there that while these are in order, they're kind of not, because I go back and forth. These are my top five
favorites.
Would you
relax? What do you think? Somebody's out there like marking them down in order.
I don't want this to come back and haunt me. You know, somebody's like, you said this was your fifth favorite.
Right.
So just to clarify.
Because of the dozens of people that
are
listening to this.
It is, but they are really close. I know. Someone is
There's
going to
be
notes.
Somebody that marks your fourth one, and then later, years from
what
now, you're going
to say it
was
your fifth. What if they want to give me a book about this person, and they're like, this was your fifth favorite or something? Mm. Yeah, Crystal's taking notes. See?
Okay. Crystal, our producer, is taking notes because she
She's
wants to know
She's already
planning
my Christmas
your...
present.
Just, what's your
That's
fifth?
So sweet of you. Okay. My fifth favorite, I'm going to say Rebecca. Okay. We'll start it off with a woman. Look at that. Rebecca. And it's funny because I've told people
Can
named...
I stop you? Are all of yours women?
No. No, they're not.
All right, I just want to check.
That I don't want to spoil it, but
is that,
was
a sexist
my only
thing
woman.
For me to say?
That was the only woman I put
it's
down.
The only woman
and
you
I
have.
Love Deborah too.
Okay, let me just say before we go on, I have more women on my list than you do.
You're so egalitarian.
I am.
I'm so impressed.
I'm okay, impressed that you use that word.
But you know what? I'm also egalitarian in the opposite way because I put men down.
Oh, that's a good point.
More men than you.
We're so equally non-sexist.
So, okay, but Rebecca, I told this to different women who are named Rebecca.
Uh-huh.
And I've had two or three different ones say, I hate my name, and I don't like her in the Bible. They don't like this woman, and I love her. Ever since I was a teenager, I read this book called Auntie Loved Her. It's a short little booklet, and one of the chapters is about Rebecca. And it talks about how she hasted, and she is carrying all that water and serving.
Yeah.
And she's this young, beautiful woman who is just has that servant spirit. And then when she's told to go, her family's trying to, or she has a chance to go and marry Isaac. Her family is saying, give her a few more days, give her a few more days. The servant of Abraham says, I've got to go.
Yeah.
And she's ready. She just goes. She leaves it all and goes across the country, across the desert on this camel to marry this man. And I'm fascinated by her story. I love her spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we often talk about Abraham being able to, by faith, step out into a land that he does not know of and just by faith follow God. But Rebecca really does the same thing, doesn't she?
And I think it's fascinating that in the scriptures, it says about those two, and he loved her, which is the title of that book.
And so, he loved her.
Yeah, which I thought was really, it's a teenager.
Andy?
That
And he loved her?
No, Isaac.
Oh.
And he
Oh, and
loved
he
her.
Loved her.
Yeah.
I'm
so
confused.
As a teenager, I really got into that, you know.
I thought it was Andy and Rebecca.
Yeah.
But it's
How
Isaac.
Many Bible degrees do you have?
Well, they were all online degrees.
Oh, great.
Right, so.
All right, number four, Josh.
Number four. My fourth favorite Bible character is, I'm going to have to go with, Timothy.
Timothy. I knew it was coming, but I thought he'd be higher on the list.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be too, but since we're making it up as we go, I figured I'd put him number four. I love Timothy. I do. I love Timothy. I related more with Timothy, I think, early on. Now I'm getting a little bit older.
Oh, that's changed.
I think that's
You've
what's
changed.
Happening. Yeah, I've changed.
I don't even know you anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Timothy. Here's why. Timothy is a young pastor in the Bible who is being trained by the Apostle Paul, who is his mentor. And Paul writes him the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, trains him. Timothy leads a church at Ephesus. He doesn't always do it well. And so I really, really loved the books of 1 and 2 Timothy in the early years of my ministry, especially read them over and over and over. So really, I related quite a bit with Timothy because, again, he was a young man. And Paul said, don't let anybody despise the fact that you're young and be an example of the believer in all of these areas and teach the word. So
That's
yeah,
good.
I love
a lot
Timothy.
Of great practical stuff for leading in church ministry there. And then also about warfare. We're getting ready for a retreat with warfare and keep going back to Timothy for different verses.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I mean, for our audience that doesn't know, we started the church. How old were we when we started leading the church?
24,
I think. 20?
Yeah, 24.
So we're 24 years old. Who in the world goes to a church where the pastor and his wife... The leaders of the church
good
are 24
people,
years old.
Good kind people.
Good, nice people is who. That's who it
was. It weren't pretty back then, folks.
No, it was not a pretty picture. But they were patient with us, and we learned a great deal from 1 and 2 Timothy. Yeah. So I would say, Joshua, then Timothy. What's your number four?
Four, I'm going to go with your number five's mentor, Moses.
Moses. I know you love Moses.
Yes.
Tell him why you love Moses.
Well, studying through his life really impacted me. I love his relationship with God. The closeness. I loved how he dealt with so many people and maintained such a great spirit.
Yeah.
And I thought, how did he do it? And I studied it out. And I couldn't get over all the times that he just said, Lord, I want to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Let me hear your voice. And that changed a huge, I guess, perspective for me, that I began praying, Lord, I don't want to miss your voice. Let me hear from you.
Yeah.
I want to follow you completely.
Well, there's a theological idea. I mean, if we talk about the Bible talks and theology itself, we believe that God, we can hear from God, that God can speak to us primarily through his word. But we also believe that the Holy Spirit speaks where the scripture doesn't bring, is not very clear. For example, what we often say at church is this, right? We say, where the scripture is silent, the Spirit of God brings specificity for you. We believe the Holy Spirit still speaks. And Moses kind of taught you that.
And I think it's so sad. I just was looking at something online today, and it was a blog about basically someone saying that this teacher was very wrong because she talked about hearing from God and that kind of prayer and listening for God.
Yeah, that's too
bad. It's very sad because I think you're missing out on the Holy Spirit. How do you even enjoy power in your Christian life? That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes, by yielding to him, by allowing him to instruct you.
Well, I think, you know what I think it is? I think that those who are so true to the veracity of Scripture, the importance of the Bible written word, I think they feel that if we give anything away to the Holy Spirit, we're taking something away from the Holy Scripture. And I don't think that's the case. I think the Holy Spirit always comes in and validates in what the written word is. Of course, he's not going to contradict himself, but he goes on to expound upon the word of God. And I think that's a huge, you know what? We're going to get to that. When we do our theological discussions, it really will. When we do the theological discussions on pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we're going to get deep into that concept of the Holy Spirit leading. Okay, so your number four is Moses.
Love that. I can't wait to meet him in heaven.
Yeah.
He's one. I just can't wait to give him a big hug. That's one of the people I look forward to.
I cannot wait to be in heaven and watch you
know you're hugging people.
run up to Moses.
They're going to know it's me.
Moses.
They won't be surprised.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe
they've
he'll be like,
heard me say this a million times.
Who is
in
this
great
woman
cloud.
Hugging me?
Yeah. No, they've heard me teach about them and talk about seeing them in heaven.
Still, I think it'll be funny.
Yeah.
I hope God lets me be there on the streets of gold. We're walking around and you're like, Moses! You know, like he's, you know, celebrity, like TMZ. Yeah. And you're running up to Moses and you're hugging him. It'd just be it'll be fun. All right. Number three. My third favorite Bible character is, okay, so you're going to have to brace here. And I know you're going to hate this. Because it's going to be like breaking the rules. And I know what a stickler you are in the rules. My number three is a pair.
Can't have two.
No, it is. I'm sorry. It's Mary and Martha. I said it. It's
done.
Oh,
my word.
Mary and Martha are my third favorite Bible characters.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can see that. So I will allow
it. You're going to allow that?
I will allow it.
Judge?
Yeah.
Crystal, is that allowed?
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
You've been overruled.
Well, I'm going to still say Mary and Martha.
Why Mary and Martha?
Okay. Here's why. Because aren't they just beautiful picture of differences? Right? So the way Mary is in her walk with Jesus, the way Martha is in her walk with Jesus, and how honestly they just both, one serves God so well, and the other one walks.
You do not want to get me started on
this. No, I'm being interested. I really do love.
I really believe they're a picture of the complete Christian woman.
You know, tell me what you mean by that.
Okay, so, and I just got the high five there from Crystal.
Yeah, we just got a clap from
the other woman here in the room. But no, too often, you know, we hear taught about, and it's like, are you a Mary or you're a Martha? I had someone say that to me one day. They're like, you're a Martha, aren't you? I was like, well, I hope I'm both. Because really, they both sat at Jesus' feet. He loved them both. Ooh. I believe Mary served. And so I think you see the two aspects. I don't think we should look at them as individuals and pigeonhole and say, well, some of us are this and some of us are this. And we both. No, it is complete. And we get a picture in them.
Hmm.
It's like saying, are you a Peter or are you a John? No, I mean, we should have aspects of both. I think they're a great picture of the completed Christian woman.
Okay.
And there's a lot of scripture to back me up there, but
so
like
with
I
that being said,
we don't have time for
with
it.
With that being said, all that does is validate my third choice
that
even
you can
greater.
Combine them, yes.
That Mary and Martha are the complete Christian woman, and I love them both.
They're always together in heaven.
Your mother's name is Martha. What'd you say?
They're always together in heaven.
Right.
Never separated.
Well, that'd be so messed up.
Yeah.
If I'm
Mary Martha, we're just kidding. Lord, tell him we're just kidding.
You just prayed to the dead.
I did not. I told the Lord
no,
to tell
you just
them.
Prayed. No, you just no. Before you prayed to the dead, I just saw
that's
you pray.
I live in a secular
our audience
world.
Heard you pray to the dead, which
the
is
dead
necromancy or something.
Us. It
and
is
so,
the Lord that hears us, and I spoke to him.
All right. Well, I think that was heresy. Okay. All right, number three. What's your third favorite Bible
my
character?
My third. I'm wondering if you could guess my third.
No, I'm not going to try to guess your third.
Okay.
There's like a billion Bible characters.
Yeah, but you should know.
Jephthah.
What? No,
I
you should
you
know.
You asked me to guess.
Our son is named
Jonathan.
Jonathan.
JT.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be cool if we had twin boys and we had Jonathan and David.
Yeah.
But I love Jonathan. Yeah. And people don't notice a lot about Jonathan. I love that his spirit the whole time was, I mean, Saul's all offended and going crazy, right, in his sin. And really, Jonathan is the one who should be like, let's get rid of this guy. Mm. It was Jonathan's throne that was given, you know, by his dad's choices, of course, but was given away.
Yeah.
And yet, you see Jonathan here with such a devotion to God that he accepts David, becomes David's biggest supporter.
Yeah.
You see bravery in battle. Oh, there's so many good things about Jonathan. If our son just turned out to be half the man that Prince Jonathan was, then we would be doing all right.
Yeah, if anybody could have been bitter in the Bible, if anybody could have become bitter, Jonathan. I mean, he was in line to be king.
Mm-hmm.
And then this shepherd boy comes in who kills a giant and takes his job. But he remains best friends with David,
and
doesn't
still he? Is doing his job. He's strong. He's fierce in battle.
Yeah.
Just a great guy. So I love that submissive heart.
I love
that
it.
Obedient
Jonathan.
Heart to the Lord. Yeah.
And Jonathan is our son's name, and he changed his name to JT. And all of his friends call him JT. Stupid.
Yeah. He'll come back to it when he gets right. He'll get right one day.
Our child is in rebellion. Number two. Right. Top favorite five Bible characters. My number two. Are you ready? Are you ready? This was really hard between the two. It was really hard. I wasn't sure which one I'm going to go. I wasn't sure, but I'm going to tell you. Here it is. Number two, Peter. The apostle.
I love Peter. He should be on my list. Let me change my stuff.
Love Peter. I love Peter all the way through.
Me too.
You meet Peter and he's a mess, but he's in love with Jesus. You see him at the riverside there in the Jordan. Mm-hmm. He's a follower of John the Baptist.
Yep.
And John says, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. And Peter leaves John the Baptist, follows Jesus. And it's just so clear throughout the Gospels that Peter was not quite all there. That is, Peter wasn't great yet. But what I love is that Jesus never saw Peter for who he was. Jesus saw Peter for what he could become. And throughout the Gospels, you see him grow, even though he makes mistakes. He says stupid things. He causes problems. Even during the arrest of Jesus, he tries to cut off somebody's head with a sword, and Jesus just redeems him the whole time. And by the time you see Peter throughout the book of Acts and into the epistles that he writes, 1st and 2nd Peter, he just becomes a great hero of the faith.
I love Peter. That really should be on my list. And by the way, can I just throw in an extra there?
Yeah.
John the Beloved. Yeah. That one to me.
No, whoa.
It's going along with Peter. It's like
you
Mary and Martha. Peter and John.
So
they're always together.
All right, but you're not saying that this is an extra one on your list, right?
No, it's an extra one on your list.
No, it can't be on my
list. Because John
that's
the Beloved.
Cheating.
Guess what, guys?
What?
He always, you know, he's referred to as the one that Jesus loved. And this is something you taught me, by the way.
Yeah.
I used to kind
of
get like frustrated with that. You did. I learned from you.
I am your teacher.
Yes. So I used to get a little bit frustrated. You know, that why does it say he's the one that Jesus loved? Jesus loves everybody.
Yeah.
And then you pointed out to me that the only one who calls John the one who Jesus loved is John.
Is John.
And I think that is just how it is. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you walk with him. I've said this before. You can't help but feel like his favorite.
Yeah.
Because I felt that way so many times. Like, Lord, I'm just your favorite. And I know I'm not.
Yeah.
But that's just how intimate and personal our God is. You can't get to know him and walk with him and not feel like the one he loves.
So, I love it. What's your number two?
Okay. My number two. Oh, this is so difficult. It changes every time I'm reading different things or going through different things. But one of my top two is definitely James, the half-brother of Christ who wrote the book of James.
Yeah.
He had such a pastor's heart.
Yep.
And his book is so practical. By the way, Crystal, we were talking about nature. Lots of nature references in that book, and I love that. So
You attempted to start memorizing the book of
James.
Yes,
and I am ashamed to say, I have only the last chapter. Now, I can't just quote it because I haven't practiced it. After that, we stayed 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. I did get through 1st Thessalonians, the entire book, which was amazing because I've never done that.
I memorized three verses from Proverbs once.
But James is one that it's easy to memorize. If you're going to start memorizing scripture, it is a great book to start in because it is so practical. There's not a lot of greetings like in the Pauline epistles. That was really got me hung up.
I rudely interrupted
in
why you were why you love James.
Well, I will get to it, but now you got me talking about scripture memory, and it's so cool.
Yeah.
So the book of James is a great book to memorize because it's so practical, and it's a book that you would talk about meditating on the Word of God or God using what you've memorized and bringing it back at the right time. That has been the book of James for me. And seeing his heart, I just feel like I know him and studying his interaction with Christ, how he wasn't a believer, and then his conversion. And did you know, here's a little fun fact.
Fun fact.
That there is a moment in James' life that we don't see. We don't actually see his conversion. So when Christ comes back from the dead, we know he talks to certain people. He has time alone with Peter.
Yeah.
We don't know what's said there.
Nope.
It's a private conversation. And there's time alone with James.
Yeah. So he meets his brother James after the resurrection. It's not recorded anywhere in Scripture.
Nope.
But then all of a sudden, James is converted. He did not believe in Jesus before.
Becomes the first pastor at Jerusalem.
And then he becomes the pastor
of the powerful
church at Jerusalem.
Leader.
It's amazing.
He just rises up out of nowhere.
Yeah. By the time you get to Acts chapter 15, there he is. He's leading. All the apostles are kind of saying, what do you think? No, it is an incredible.
Yeah. He's my Bible pastor. Yeah. You're my like real life today pastor.
Yeah. And you're my real
James
life.
Is
my real life
Bible
today
pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Are we to the number one?
Yes. The number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best top number one, five favorite Bible characters.
I'm
Here's my number one.
I'm stressing out that I didn't put them in the right order. No, I think I may have, like, they're
here
all
it is,
so good.
My number one. No.
Okay, go ahead.
Stop.
Number one.
Stop being so.
I'm committed in my choice. This is the right decision. Go ahead.
Okay, number one. Here it is. Mine is David.
That's mine, too.
Are you for real?
I'm for real. Look,
oh,
David.
My goodness. We're perfect for
and
each other.
I know it's so
Maybe
cliche.
Maybe we should stay married.
It's so cliche to put David as your favorite.
Why?
But,
no, why?
But because I couldn't get away from it because
David is, did you know David's name is mentioned over 900 times in the Bible?
I didn't know that.
Second only. No, first beyond Jesus himself.
Oh, I
and
do
Jesus
that.
Is only
Life of David.
Like 200 times. Yeah. So, 900 times. Well, let me talk about David and then you. Okay? David's my favorite Bible character in the entire Bible. Because from a very early age, he just walked with the God.
Yeah.
He was a shepherd boy out in the field, playing his harp and loving God and worshiping him. Just cool, very cool from a very early age. And then throughout his life, he kills the giant. Great story. he's a great type of Christ there. Christ is the one who can come in and slay your giants. He becomes the assistant to the king, and then eventually becomes the great king of Israel. Man, I love David. Like his story is so beautiful. And he becomes the great ancestor of the Messiah, of course.
Yes.
So you tell me why you love David.
Well, I think part of it is because one of my first, I guess, earliest Bible books loves was the Psalms. I know he didn't write all of them, but he wrote a majority of them. And I feel a kindred spirit with David. Mm. I love goats. He was out with the sheep. So, you know.
Okay, so let me ask you, are you going to mention goats in every episode? Because
that's my goal. So check this one off the list. Right. Goats, yeah.
She loves goats,
you know,
people.
But I think about David. I used to spend a lot of time outside, you know, growing up in the country and just talking to the Lord and having that sweet communion. And I would think about David having that time with the Lord. And then when I was going through something, I could always just turn to a psalm. My life verse is Psalm 34:1, you know. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If one thing could be said about me, that could be my legacy, that she always had something to praise God for. That would be great. And I just, so many things like that from David's heart that I'm right there with him. And I do want to see what he looked like, though, because I know I've heard different meanings of ruddy.
Yeah.
And
you want to know if he was red?
I want to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just say, he wasn't that good looking.
You don't think so?
Whatever you're picturing. No, I mean, there's only...
You know who I'm picturing.
There's only
he
one
good looking
man.
He looked like Little Joe Cartwright.
Little Joe.
That's who he looked like.
Oh, my goodness. I am so sick and tired of hearing about Little Joe Cartwright.
If you want to know what David in his early years looked like, it was Little Joe Cartwright.
So, for those of you who don't know, Heather was in love with Little Joe Cartwright growing up.
How do we get on that from this?
You
so
love David.
No, I love David's heart, though.
Yeah, you love David's
I do love his heart. You know, it's something that from what he wrote about the Lord to the time he spent, and that just that heart.
Yeah.
I mean, a man after God's own heart.
You know,
isn't that what
things,
our desire
it really
should
is.
Be?
His heart is that way. Even when he walks away from God, through the sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. He spends a year away from God, but it becomes so clear, doesn't it, when the prophet approaches him, how much he longs to come back to God even.
Yeah.
And that, man, that I can relate to. That I can relate to. So, man, I love it. Well, good. That was the top five.
We did it.
This was a good episode.
They said it couldn't be done.
No, they said it couldn't be done, and here we are.
It was.
Who said it couldn't be done, Heather?
People.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's an episode about biblical fascinations, and we've got other episodes coming, like theological discussions, personal applications, but that was a good episode on biblical fascinations, the five top favorite Bible characters.
Now,
in
here's
the whole
what
Bible.
We want you to do. Go on to our Facebook page called Bible Talks with Josh and Heather, and we want to hear from you. What is your favorite Bible character? Was it someone we named today? Was it someone we totally forgot about? Did we miss the mark? And how could they not be in our top five?
Right. Which one is your favorite? Well, that's what we want to hear from. And we want to interact with you in that way.
Yeah. So be sure and go in there and comment and let us know what you're thinking.
Well, that was it. So first of all, I want to say thank you for listening to episode number 2 of the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
On the next episode, we plan to discuss a theological discussion on how God reveals himself. I'm really excited about that one.
If you'd like to connect with us further, like our Facebook page, The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. Here we can interact with you by taking requests for upcoming episodes, talking with you about your thoughts on the Bible, and answer your questions.
And don't forget, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss one awesome Bible truth.
Again, thanks for listening. And remember,
when the Bible talks,
we'd better listen.